I'm Christian Abbott.
I'm Nathan Lavender.
I'm Sean Abbott.
And this is the Red Mist Podcast.
Hello, welcome to the Red Mist Podcast, Season 4, Episode 10. You know what number 10 is, Christian?
Is it the Wayne Taylor?
Oh, Cadillac? Damn you! Yes, it is!
Is it the Cadillac or the Acura or
it's previous the Cadillac?
Whichever.
I was going to go with the Acura, but it's the Cadillac. Yeah. Of Philippe Albuquerque and Ricky Taylor.
All right,
yeah. Not having the best of seasons yet, but we shall see.
Oh.
As IMSA will be part of our conversation next week as they run at the streets of Long Beach.
Mm-hmm.
And a fun-filled weekend of racing this weekend. Next week's show could be a two-hour special.
2 hour special next week?
Yeah, 2 hour special.
Okay.
We'll get to it. All right, tonight's show, we will discuss NASCAR. At Darlington, the track too tough to tame. We will discuss ELMS season opener in Barcelona.
Mm-hmm.
And then F1 at Suzuka.
Suzuka.
All right, let's get into it. NASCAR, going to be very short and sweet here. It was a very uneventful race. Unfortunately, if you're a Kyle Larson fan, it was eventful as Kyle had a crash on lap 4 and essentially they fixed the car and then he went back out and ran. Finished 37th, got a point. I still don't understand why. He's locked in for the chase. So, like, what was the purpose other than maybe learning stuff?
I guess learning and then any... You still gotta like battle for position in the chase, right? So
gotcha.
Is it the chase or is it just playoffs? No, it's playoffs.
Playoffs.
They
playoffs.
The chase.
Wait, yeah.
It's
playoffs.
Okay, and then so obviously the higher up, the more points you, more buffer you have when you go in there.
Right. Anyways. That was pretty exciting.
Yep.
Anyways, so Denny Hamlin with the win. Back to back.
So much for this Cold. This 16 plus winner of a season that we've been hyping up the possibility for over the past couple of years.
Well, you think?
I mean, well,
I see what you're saying.
It's been, what, Byron once or twice? Bell, times, Larson's got one.
Yeah.
Larson and Byron will probably win again, right?
Josh Berry's got one, yeah.
Berry's got one, he's kind of the standout.
I see what you're saying.
Then Hamlin's got two, so.
Yeah.
You know, everyone that's been winning has been getting multiple wins now, so.
Yeah. It was throwback weekend, so there was some colorful paint schemes. Thought it was cool. That's my favorite part of this weekend. I mean, I do like the track, but I mean, I don't like the race format. So, outside of that, man, this is funny. They're using H patent gearboxes in a GTO car. That's friggin' awesome. Friggin' Mazda RX-7 is four rotor is leading the two Whistler Mercury Cougars of Roush Racing. Glory days. Anyways. So we had Hamlin, Byron, Bell, Tyler Reddick, Ryan Blaney, Chris Buescher, Ross Chastain, Chase Elliott, Ty Gibbs, and Kurt Busch. That was our top 10.
All right.
And the exciting thing is, though, we move on to Bristol for this weekend.
Is that something exciting?
I like Bristol.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
No? I'm not a Bristol fan.
I don't know.
It's okay.
It's fine. They should go back to dirt there. That's a controversial take.
No. I had enough of that.
Are they doing? No, they're done with that dirt experiment.
They're done with that. So yeah, they're done with that, and they're done with the Coliseum. So yeah. Anyway,
all right. Well,
all right. Let's move on to EMS. The season opener. It was a great, fantastic race. What can I say? We had LMP2, LMP3, and GT3. The only thing I had it, I didn't realize, and that was my fault. I keep forgetting this, but in LMP2 they have LMP2 Pro Am.
Yeah.
Which, I didn't think LMP2 you could have like Pro Am, you know. I was like trying to figure out why it was Pro Am, you know.
Well, I mean, the outside of, well, I mean, with European Le Mans Series and Asian Le Mans Series, the class is big enough, and that's just the top class.
That yeah, because I thought, like, LMP2 really is a Pro-Am class. That's what I thought. Because, like, in IMSA, it's a Pro-Am class, you know?
Yeah, no, I get that.
That's kind of where I got it. It got a little confused. And what we had happen, which it just... Again, this is kind of like IMSA, GTD, GTD, Pro-Am. We had a Pro-Am car win overall.
Yeah, and...
And then we, you know...
Sure, next there was cautions where it sets up, you put the Pro...
Well, there was. There was a caution at the end that played critically into the race. But I will say it was a fantastic race. Again, and what I like about the LMS, like IMSA, the only thing is I wish IMSA would go to this time format more so than the 2-hour and 45-minute race. Not like I'm like Long Beach, 2-hour and 45 minutes or whatever they're going to run is fine, and the same in Detroit. Okay, but I would like to see them go to 4 hours as a race because there's just a lot more strategy in it. That's just my one. One thing, and that's what I love about the EMS, is that they're 4-hour races.
Yeah, no, that's definitely a good format to move to if they did.
Yeah, so Francois Perraudeau and Max Vivier, along with their co-driver Alex Rivera, they took the win overall, even though they were in a Pro-Am car. Now, that driver lineup, the first two guys, is pretty stacked. So, I mean, come on. And then second went to Jamie Chadwick and Danny Yukadella and Max Joubert. And that's essentially the guys that are part of the drivers that are part of the potential Genesis hypercar program. This was also the team that Logan Sargeant was supposed to drive for. Probably regretting that decision. Anyways. If he pops up in a Cadillac in F1, I'm going to kill somebody.
I mean, he'd have to bring Perez-like money.
He can, though. That's the unfortunate thing.
I mean...
I don't want either one of them in the car, and I don't want any driver bringing money in that car because that's a factory effort.
Yeah, well, I think the likelihood of it happening is very, very low.
Good.
And if Cadillac has been making it a point that, like, well, we want an established American to that has that's, you know, how do they word it? They basically left the door open to saying, like, Colton isn't the Herta isn't the outright pick for this. Like,
well, that's the cover in case he doesn't get a super license,
right? Which I get it. But
anyways,
if you look in F2, it's Max Esterson, which he hasn't.
The full, one they're talking about is Crawford.
Yeah, he hasn't. Esterson hasn't had a full season F2, so it's tough to tell. Anyways, and his results aren't quite there yet either. But yeah, like you said, Jack Crawford is the other one.
Yeah, but he's that, been, so anyway. So let's. I shouldn't have went down that rabbit hole.
Well, I'll just finish off real quick. Crawford doesn't stand out to me. But I guess the other thing too that I think my perception might be a little bit skewed on is when we were watching F2 and GP2, when, you know, it was George, Lando, I mean, Piastri's a bit new, more recent.
Yeah.
But even, you know, when Stroll was there and a couple of the other guys in F2 that have already left F1, there isn't, or Leclerc was a great example, super dominant and then progresses up, whereas the few guys that I've seen come through lately between De Vries, Lawson, Yuki, Joe, Guan Yu, and I need another example because I got five fingers out. They haven't like stunned me at all, like in their F2 results. Like, yeah, they've been, you know, consistently in the top 10, but like they're not winning a championship like Piastri did, and most notably that I still think hasn't gotten any shot in F1 yet is Felipe Drugovich.
Right.
So, right. I mean, he's still a previous champion that hasn't gotten a ride. Of course, there's been champions that have flopped. Like, Stoffel Van Dorn was a prime example. But, I mean, there is also the other point that I've contested where the jump between F1 and F2 is still massive. And you need a few years to kind of get up to speed with it. And they still don't have hybrid power units in F2, so you add on another.
Yeah, all right. We got to get back on here. I get it.
We've been over that a few times too. So
I know, yeah. I know. I shouldn't have went down that rabbit hole. I didn't. That was my fault. So Amy Chadwick got the pro win. So good for her.
Right, we're back to EMS.
EMS. It's, you know, the funny thing is Stance. Stance on the overall podium, she's second, but in the pro class, she's one. Whacked. Anyways, so that, I mean, that from that perspective, that race was crazy. I mean, it was fun. The LMP3 guys had a I don't know, the LMP3 class. I don't know too much about it, like in terms of the drivers now, because a lot of these guys have stepped up. To LMP2. So that's a little tough. I will say this, in LMP2, Teo Pacher made his debut. He led for a bit, and his team finished sixth overall and fifth in class. So, and they were in the pro class. But it was, like I said, a very enjoyable race in GT3. Congrats to the Iron Dames. They took the outright win. So good on them in their Porsche. So made up for last year when they ground to a halt with two laps to go.
So when was the big one?
That was on Saturday.
Okay.
That was in the Le Mans Cup race with the junior Iron Dames car.
Okay. I was getting that mixed up.
Yes. No, that's all right. That was in that class.
Because that was like was, the highlight from that game.
Yeah, that, so that's yeah, I know. And it was like, really? Like, we want to talk about somebody cracking up. And, it, you know. And she got pushed, didn't she?
Traffic was coming through. It was just a bad situation.
It's a bad situation,
Wrong time, wrong place. That's all.
But everybody's okay, so that's the good thing.
Yeah, yeah.
So no issue there.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So that was really bulk of that race. There was no crazy incidents, no nothing. You know, cars dropped out due to attrition, things like that. But again, I you know, it was an entertaining 4-hour race. So from my perspective, I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I completely forgot about that they ran this weekend until I was on YouTube at one point during the day and saw that they had the highlights posted. And I was like, yeah, that would have been a good race to watch.
So anyways, never mind. I'm absolutely amazed at some guys who drive in so-called professional sports car races. Like, there's a yellow flag.
Oh, are you watching this race?
Yeah, I was just watching the race. Yellow flag, a car had spun. The car, you know, was, wow, that was a mess. Car spun, and then the oncoming traffic is avoiding it, and then there's one guy in a Mazda RX-7 that's like, oh, there's a car there, and he spins out. Mm-hmm. It's like, well, shouldn't you have been, like, heads up? Anyways, kind of funny.
What one would think, you know.
One would think, yeah. Oh, shocking. Robbie Gordon got in a wreck. Oh, no pit lane speed limit either. Even nice. Better.
Nice.
Oh, God. Robbie, he is beautiful on machines. He can wreck them with the best. Anyways, I love him, though. All right. All right, so round one of... 6 is complete for the ELMS.
Where are they going next?
All right. Bear with me here. Castellet 4-hour race in France.
Ooh. And when's that?
May 4th.
Oh, all right. Oh, that.
I'm now,
saying that's a quick turnaround, but I mean it's a month away.
Is the tricky thing with this though? For you folks that want to watch this, I think it. I don't know if it's on MAV TV or it's on something. I think or what's that other one? That sports one. There's another one. So you have to watch in order to get this on YouTube. You got to put the VPN on.
Oh, I thought. So. Oh, I thought I've watched. Might have been Asian League Series.
It comes so they'll do the race replay,
yeah,
on free YouTube. But the live race, you gotta. It's not. It's geo-blocked here.
Okay.
In the States,
mm-hmm.
But the Le Mans Cup and all the other stuff, and the Ligier Cup and all that Ligier Cup, that's not geo-blocked.
Mm-hmm.
It's able, you know, so it's out there. Mm. Anyways, all right. Let's move on to Formula Uno and yep. Suzuka.
Oh, I thought it was Monaco.
Some people are going to claim it's Monaco, but I'm going to say I thoroughly enjoyed the race.
Okay.
Just saying, I really enjoyed the race.
All right, well, let's go through the recap, and then we can discuss that.
Sure. Well, the recap is Max Verstappen has reasserted his F1 prowess.
Mm-hmm.
With a run to pole in a absolutely crazy ass run the pole.
Yeah.
I'm not going to call it a lap of the gods, a la Senna, but it was probably one of Max's finest performances in qualifying, I will have to say.
Well, as Fernando put it, he saw himself in 2012 with the third
fourth Fernando car. Did? Yeah. I love that. That's putting wonderful. Putting
it on pole. So.
Excellent.
I don't disagree with him.
I don't either.
He's made
it was pretty damn good.
Alonso is he's funny to watch when he watches Max because I think he just sees himself.
Right.
Or at least like he recognizes that Max is taking on a very similar approach to how he goes about racing. So
no, you're 100% right there.
But I mean Max with a crazy lap puts it on pole. McLaren's follow 1-2, very close, within a tenth of a second. So exciting to watch there. The Ferraris were a few tenths back. Not as close as I probably would have liked them to be at this point in the season, but then again, we're three rounds in, and there's plenty of the season to go, and upgrades are coming soon. So we'll see how it all plays out, and I'm sure there's going to be a track or two where, just like we saw at the end of last season, where some races just flip-flop back and forth of who's fast and who's not, so maybe they just haven't put it together yet.
The two that you have to talk about, you have to talk about Hajar and Berman.
Yes, in qualifying.
Yes.
Yeah. Very great job by both of them. And I'll say too, Kimi Antonelli put in a good performance as well. So like he's not.
Well, I'm just, and the reason I'm citing those two over Antonelli is, I mean, Antonelli's in the Mercedes and the car is pretty consistent.
Yep.
Overall, so I think it's the Mercedes as, let's just say, the Red Bull or the VCAB. What do they call the VCAB? VCAR?
Whatever it is. VCARB.
VCARB.
Yeah.
I think it's a much more drivable car in the sense that both Russell and Antonelli are able to finish, are within each other, you know, that type of thing.
Yeah.
So.
Well, and Kimi has been getting up to speed, so that's been good to see.
And
I think this Suzuka has probably been a track that he's driven on.
Yeah. No, you're right.
I would think. So you're right. So now he's had similar to Lawson's scenario, he's now going into some tracks where he's driven before. So you get some of that to benefit you, hopefully.
Yeah.
Who is next? Williams? Sort of.
Albon. Albon split. Albon finished behind Hamilton in ninth.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
And then, then 11th was Gasly. Sainz was 12th, but demoted to 15th because he had the penalty against, he had the impeding penalty or whatever it was with Hamilton.
Sure.
And then a strong effort this weekend from Lance Stroll overall.
Yeah, that was that was something.
It was something. I will say that. I mean, he qualified 20th, but he was out qualified by Jack Doohan. I'm sorry, Jack Doohan.
Yeah.
Out qualified by Jack Doohan, who had a monstrous crash an FP2. I mean,
yeah.
And he still, he bounces back and he out-qualifies Stroll. Oh,
yeah.
God. The worst part was Stroll gets out of the car and it's just like not a care in the world.
Well, look, the only thing that I have to give him at this point is he is 10th in the standings.
I agree.
So, and because take Suzuka out of it, the first two races, he's done what he's need to.
Yep.
And yes, last in China, he scored points based off of disqualifications, but again, ran a legal car, did his race, yep. and the team didn't screw up. So, to kind of flip it a little bit, Fernando finally finished a race because he had two DNFs the previous two rounds. So,
yeah.
As much as this was, you know, probably, I guess, what we would expect from him, I mean, so far he's, at this point of the season, he's outperforming, and I wouldn't say proving people wrong, but, like, you know, he's not giving a lot of people a bunch to stand on right now.
Right. Yeah.
So just to give him some credibility, he's, you know, not that bad, because you got to at least have some kind of talent to be an F1.
Right. Yeah.
Money is always going to be a part of the equation.
I know.
Yeah.
All right.
We've had this talk before.
Let's get into the race. You know, as you know, we had this constant hype of it may rain. It was like, can we just let the race, you know, just the weather play out, you know, and stop hyping it up? It rained overnight. It didn't race. You know, the race wasn't in the rain, you know. It was a dry race.
Yeah, and I mean, last week you mentioned that it was going to rain, and then when I pulled up the forecast, it was...
Yeah.
It was... Like, maybe it'll be raining when the race starts.
But... I was just saying it rains in Suzuka, you know? Right. So, anyways. But the media, the commentating started, like, you know, Thursday, you know? You know, rain. And I was like, well, if it rains, Max is going to romp her way. So, as it turned out, even without the rain, he romped away.
He didn't, you know.
He controlled the race.
Yeah, he controlled it. He didn't leave him in the dust, but he definitely controlled it.
Yeah. This is going to be the fatal flaw with McLaren. Instead of just letting their drivers race.
Yeah.
Okay. They're looking, you know what they're doing? They're letting Max hang around.
Right.
Which is the worst possible thing.
Yeah, their weakness right now is that they're too confident.
Yeah. That's a great point, Christian.
They think that they can they've outsmarted themselves by playing quote unquote the long game. Like we have no problem. But that's not what you want to do. Because did we talk about I think this was a separate conversation I had. If you look back at Max's first championship, during that whole season, before you even got to the end of the season, the fact that he was winning races or contending for wins week in and week out, or I shouldn't say week in and week out, but you know, more often than not, because he had to win a substantial number that season. Every time he was either making a move on Lewis or defending from Lewis, he always made it like it was life or death, because the biggest unknown was, will they ever be that close the next week?
Mm-hmm.
So, right. And yeah, hindsight 2020 is always like, okay, well, you know, maybe he didn't have to be so hard here, or could have let him go there, and he would have like walked away with a bit more points gap towards the end, so it wasn't mm-hmm. as controversial. But as the season went on, you never knew if Mercedes was going to just eke out more performance and then just be gone, because that's what they had been doing for the past 8 years prior to that.
Yep.
So it's tough to say, like, now, with that in mind, if you're McLaren, you should be taking every opportunity and like trying to win every single race. If you want to take it race by race, you have to take it race by race. You can't you can't play the long game and hope that the numbers work out, because if you're doing that, then you're being conservative somewhere, and that's costing you pace, and you're being slow.
So, yeah, and what they've done over the last, you know, just what's happened is Max got two decent finishes, right? Well, this is what, race three, right, of the season. Got two decent finishes in the first two races. Stayed, you know, hung around, got a win today, and McLaren, you know, was, you know, futzing around. Could have potentially got the win, but, you know, they, like you said, it's the same problem that their IndyCar team has. They have no concept of strategy.
Hold on, let me pull this up. Way too far down. Okay. So, Max's finished second, fourth, first. Lando's finished first, second, second.
Right.
The thing that's hurting Lando right now is the fact that he had a bad sprint race in China.
Right.
Whereas Max didn't. He finished on the podium for that.
Yeah.
You can debate on whether sprint races should be involved in F1 or not, but regardless, are what the points are. And he is only 1 point behind because he's been consistent in that respect.
He's been consistent, yeah.
Yes, Lando is more consistent during the Grand Prix, but again, Max performed during the sprint race, and Lando didn't.
Yep.
Lando didn't. Yep. Oscar has been consistent too. However, he made a huge mistake in Australia.
Right.
So, and that's the thing that's putting him down.
Yeah.
I mean, well, it's hard to say consistency at this point, but like, because pretty much where everyone stands is where everyone's been finishing. Right.
Right.
But then
Max has had the most consistent.
You know what? After that, or after Piastri, George and Kimi have been very consistent for what they are.
Yep. Nope. Fair point.
Ferrari has thrown away points from China. So, and they've been on the back foot. Albon has been consistent as well. Kind of from there, everything kind of flip flops. From some performances.
Yeah, back and forth. But the thing is, it's like, when is McLaren just going to stop, you know, and just go, look, you know what? We got to go for the win here. And it's like, you know, it felt like they were protecting Lando the whole race.
Yeah, they need to. They probably need to switch their outlook on the race and just say, what is our best odd? What is our best chance of winning this race? When the season gets, you know, further down the line, after we get back from, say, the summer break at that point,
yeah,
okay, flip your mentality and see where you are with the points. Because then you can say, all right, Lando's ahead by 10 points. We're going to favor him. If it, you know, assuming that he doesn't have some catastrophic races as the season goes on. But right. you only do that, you know, when you're in the positions that you should be, where, say, it's Lando and Oscar 1-2, you know, comfortably ahead of the rest of the field. When you dominate a race and, you know, play the game how you want it, then yeah, go and do whatever you want, how of what you think is going to be maximizing the best. But like,
yeah,
to sit there and not play. To take this backseat approach of like, well, we're not, that our two drivers aren't going to have this like intra-team battle. Yeah. Like it's that we're just going to make sure it doesn't happen like that. And we're clearly going to just tell them both to kind of stand down regardless when they get to each one. No, like it's not going to work because one of them will probably leave at some point.
Yeah.
And it's almost the reverse because you're just showing these two guys that you can't let them or that you won't let them race each other.
Yeah.
And it's not that they're saying, you know, one driver has to finish ahead of the other. It's just you just have to hold position and we're just going to get both cars home. Okay. Right. Well, great, but that's what cost McLaren the title in 08, or no, I'm sorry, 07, with Ferrari, and how Kimi won the title, because Alonso and Hamilton were too busy fighting each other that they were costing each other points. It's a little bit of a flip scenario from what you have now, but McLaren's going to run into the same situation where they might be holding station too long that the other drivers are going to, or the other teams,
yeah,
like say Mercedes, is going to catch up to them and outperform them. Or, you know, like we've said with Max, where Max is just going to be consistent that he's going to nip the driver's title again.
Yeah.
So.
I think during the race when, like, the closest moment was, you know, the pit stop, right? Do you think had McLaren went for, again, if they went for the undercut, they would have pit a lap later, correct? Yeah.
No, undercut would be a lap earlier.
A lap earlier. Do you think if they had pitted on their own without McLaren, they could have achieved that? Because I think they could have.
Red Bull?
Huh?
I'm sorry, can you ask that question again?
No, I was like, if McLaren pitted on their own versus pitting when Verstappen pitted, I think they could have taken the lead.
Well, they did in some extent because they pitted Oscar before the two of them.
No, but Oscar never took the lead.
Correct.
I'm saying had Lando pitted opposite strategy of Verstappen, I think he could have.
So if Lando did the overcut.
Yeah, I'm just saying that I think he would have won. I think he would have come out ahead and then taken control of the race. This is my whole problem with McLaren. Like, I don't think they have a clue what they're doing strategy.
I think their best shot would have been doing opposite to what for Lando would have been to do opposite of whatever Max did.
Since they didn't, they should have, in all honesty, they should have swapped drivers to let Oscar try and chase them down.
Yes.
And they didn't. So what they're doing is they're cannibalizing their season. They're going to let Verstappen hang around. So if Max hangs around in the races that he doesn't do well in, okay, and then all of a sudden he gets a couple tracks where he puts the car in the sweet spot and he gets ahead of these guys,
yeah,
they're never gonna get a break from him.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just gonna be honest with you, he's mentally stronger than both of those two drivers.
Yes.
So you got to also factor that in is, you know, will the McLaren duo at some point during the season, will each driver have some kind of mental, but some kind of non-mechanical thing that causes them to lose position? And my feeling is, yeah.
I mean, already Oscar's had that.
And Lando had it in the sprint race.
Yep.
But yeah. It's bound to happen again.
Right. And again, too, like, every team is talking about upgrades that are going to be brought. And if you just take last year into consideration with how close these cars are to begin with, and even more so now, the order could flip at any point.
Yep.
But, right, like, the biggest thing is it's been three rounds. McLaren has had the best car, and they've won two out of the three races, and they've not finished 1-2 except... No, they haven't finished 1-2.
Right.
No, I'm sorry. They did finish 1-2. China, my bad. Okay, so only China have they finished 1-2 and maximized points.
Mm-hmm.
But even... Actually, I shouldn't even say that. China, they technically didn't even maximize points because they didn't finish 1-2 in the sprint either. So, at a point in time of the season where you have the best car, you are not maximizing points.
I just don't know what to, you know, it's just... It's really...
I think Oscar's mistakes will be of inexperience.
Yeah.
I think that'll... Like, if... Say either he goes for a move on Max or Max goes out for a move on him, it'll just be a misjudgment from Oscar, and either he'll outbreak himself or have an incident where, it, like, he's the one at fault because he messed it up. Lando... He's raced Max more, so he knows what he's getting himself into.
Yeah.
It's just, I think the question will be, when does he kind of like pull the pin and say, I'm going to stand my ground this time, and you're not going to just run me off the road? Or vice versa, like, he's the one that runs Max off the road.
Yeah.
So.
All right. Yep, no, fair point. Anybody else stand out to you over the course of the race?
I mean, Hadjar had a good performance. Behrman had a good performance.
Well, I think those three right there, I mean, Hadjar, Albon, and Behrman.
Yeah, I think Carlos, given a better qualifying, given no penalty, he would have been right there with them. Because he was fun to watch at the end of the race because they went super long with the hards.
Yeah.
That they put on the softs at the end, and he was able to get by a few guys.
Thoughts on Yuki? Good weekend?
No.
It wasn't.
No, it wasn't.
No.
Well, okay.
Mediocre?
Mediocre and... I'm not even going to say average at best because
average would be good.
He dropped off from practice
continuously throughout the weekend, right? Yeah.
So
yep.
So that's not good. And then especially in qualifying, I'm not saying he had to like put it in the top 10, but like he was
right.
He started 14th. Like it wasn't even like he was, you know, just missing out on the top 10.
Right.
I still think the gap that he had to Max was smaller, than what Lawson was to Verstappen.
Yeah.
But I don't think it was that much better.
The only difference being he had the Red Bull further up in further up the grid in qualifying than Lawson had all season.
Yes, but again, like the only here's the other thing. Lawson finished 12th in China, and Yuki finished 12th here in Suzuka.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'd say he would have done. I would probably say that Lawson would have done better than 17th at Suzuka in the Red Bull than he did in the V-carb.
Yeah.
Because yeah. I think V-carb is more likely to mess up strategy than Red Bull is. And
yeah,
it was a little disappointing to see Lawson go to a track that he's been to before and have kind of a lackluster performance, especially with how well Hadjar did. And none of this is to like say that any of these drivers are bad. I think they're just in a crappy situation where Red Bull is super hard-nosed yep. about decisions that they've made. And unfortunately, because of the roulette that they've played with these past couple of years, they've got themselves into this position where they don't have a standout second driver anymore. Even if Red Bull does, whether Red Bull has two even cars in the garage, and obviously like you can have different upgrades on the car at the same points at times, so they're not technically the same, but you know, if you're developing the car the same as the season progresses and it's more similar than not, then
yeah,
they might just have a car that is really, really hard to drive, and Max is the only one that can do it.
Yeah.
So,
you're right.
And I don't think we've ever said Max is a bad driver. He definitely has always gotten the most out of a car. I don't think there's any argument with that.
No, I agree.
And it is interesting. It would be interesting if they do claim that the V-carb, or even if Max, did Max say it, where he thinks that the V-carb could be faster than the Red Bull? Where
somebody, I don't know if he said it. Somebody did say it.
But
I've heard it.
But it would be an interesting question or experiment to play with, because if they have no problem swapping the other three between the Red Bull seat and the V-carb, why not switch Max for a race? And then not that they're actually going to do this, but you would answer the question of how far up the grid can Max take the V-carb?
Yeah, no, that's a fair point.
And then you can sit there and say, well, this is really the difference of what a driver makes. And you can take the Red Bull, which, I mean, if you take Max out of it, the car is not even competitive.
Yeah, yeah.
The Red Bull, that is. Like, so with that in mind, like, where does Red Bull and V-carb actually stand with a highly skilled driver in it?
Yeah.
And Max is proving that, you know, it can be in the top five, no problem.
Right.
And if Hadjar is in eighth.
Eighth.
Right. Like, they can, with Max in the car, it's probably right there with the Mercedes.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
It's
drivers. It's,
yeah.
Yeah. Drivers that underperformed this weekend.
Stroll.
Stroll's one. Who's the other?
Ocon.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh. They were tail end of the field, both of them.
I mean, Borletto is split.
Yeah, I'm not. The guys in the kicks are. I'm not even.
Between Borletto and Hülkenberg, it's not much of a difference, but the jump from Stroll and Ocon to their teammates is what is killing them.
Yeah.
And I mean, I guess the same could be said for Lawson, but like,
Look, it's he's going from the Red Bull to I'll give him a race. I'm not gonna. I mean, especially with everything he's been through, so I'm not. You know,
he's
let's see where it goes at Bahrain.
He's finally got a whole season, and it's not. Yep. There is no rumors or anything about either Lawson or Hadjar or Tsunoda getting replaced by anyone else at this point because it is what it is.
Yeah.
So unless one of them just starts finishing 20th every single week, then they have nothing to be afraid of.
The only swap season. That's left, the only swap that's left that could happen is Yuki getting swapped for Hadjar.
Yes. But then they look like idiots if they do this.
I agree. And you know, once we have a slow weekend of Formula One, we can talk about Red Bull driver guru Helmut Marko. That old fool. I've had enough of him. So now we go on to we're into a string of three races in a row.
We did the first race.
Yeah.
So now we're going to race two and then race three. So we got Bahrain and Saudi Arabia.
Bahrain, yeah.
In this to finish
and
out this trip.
And then there's a week off. There's a week off, and then we go to Miami. So I mean, we're thick into Formula One here.
Yeah. Well, and this is one of two triple header weekends because then the other triple header is towards the end of the calendar with
right.
I think it's Mexico, Brazil, and Vegas.
Yeah.
And I'm sure some of these guys will. Once after Saudi Arabia, like they'll enjoy a week off or whatever it is to kind of reset. Because then after Miami, then they do. They got three races in
Imola.
Yeah, they got three races in Europe, and then they come back for Canada, and then it's the
they go Imola, Monte Carlo, and Spain back to back.
Yep.
Back to back to back. Yeah. So man, it's coming thick and fast. So wow, it's gonna be crazy.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's just take a quick spin. Wasn't really much out there for news this week at all.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we're good.
The only thing that I saw was for IMSA going into Long Beach, the BOP got flipped around.
Yeah, BOP
pretty good.
But moved around. So the other big thing is it's Robbie Wicken's debut.
Yes, it is.
This weekend. So really excited for that. Him and Tom Milner. So be teaming up in the DXDT car. So that's going to be exciting.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get into this weekend. We have on the calendar. We have Formula One, obviously in Bahrain. We have MotoGP in Qatar. We have NASCAR, obviously, at Bristol. IMSA, GTP, and GTD at Long Beach, along with IndyCar.
Yeah, it's packed this weekend.
It's a packed weekend. So DVR or buy a bowl of popcorn. If you live in the Northeast, you're going to be in-house because it's going to rain all weekend.
I mean, the other thing too, not to get too far ahead of ourselves, but the only series really missing is WEC, and they're racing next week. So
you're right. Yeah, it's wow, it's getting good here.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's roll into our picks.
Mm-hmm.
I thought I had received Nate's picks. Earlier in the day. And then I saw the text that Nate sent. I swear I thought I had saw an earlier text from him, but because this one actually made more sense.
Oh.
Well, the one he sent to us.
Yeah.
So Nate has Lando winning, mm-hmm. Max second, and Oscar third.
Yeah.
And I went on a limb here. He went with Ollie Berman as his dark horse.
I mean, I don't. After last weekend, I don't know how much of a dark horse it really is.
Yeah, but anyways.
Actually, the past 2 weekends, I really don't know how much of a dark horse it
is. Yeah, well, he's performed. So, anyways. What? How about you?
I got to think that McLaren bounces back this week, and it sounds like this is the other thing too is this is where they did preseason testing at. So
mm-hmm.
it's like how Barcelona used to be a number of years ago, where it's you go do preseason testing, go a couple rounds, and then you come back to the same track that you did testing at. So with already a few races under their belt, I'm thinking it's going to be a 1-2. I'm still going to contest that Piastri is the better driver, and he did show pace in that second half of the stint. So
I think Piastri so you're going to go
take the win.
Oscar, Lando,
and
your third place.
I would like to see Ferrari do something. So I'm going to take Leclerc
on the podium. Well, guess what? So we both have the same picks.
Okay. All right.
Who's your dark horse?
I'm going to go Sainz.
Okay.
Because at some point he's gonna have to overtake Albon, and Bahrain is filled with a lot of straights. So
I'm gonna go with the hot guy. I'm gonna go with Hajar.
Okay.
Wow, that's crazy. We both
I'll take Lewis. Just to,
as the Ferrari guy?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. You don't have to.
No.
But I think we're both of the opinion that we think Ferrari's gonna do something here.
Okay. And I don't like. I think Max could finish fourth or fifth.
Yeah.
Like I don't think he's gonna be far off. Like I think he'll still be there. Just just not right at the front.
No, I agree. I agree.
So, but again, like. Obviously, there can be anything that can happen. All right. Do we want to do IndyCar picks?
IndyCar?
Okay.
Yeah.
Nate has gotten his pick in as well.
I thought he was originally going to go with Devin DeFrancesco.
He's gone with the smart decision of taking Dixon to win.
Yes.
I know you joke about DeFrancesco, but... I don't know if this is better or worse, but he's gone with Ferrucci as his dark horse.
He took Ferrucci as his dark horse. Yeah. Ooh.
So it could be exciting. And, he has surprised us once in a while. I know we joke about him a lot, but, he does.
Yeah.
He is definitely, out of all the dark horses, like, he's the one that, like, will creep up in there and could pull something off. But just it's either been pace or way a yellow falls and it just doesn't work out. But like, Ferrucci in that Foyt car will sniff around once in a while. So, I mean, interesting pick. We'll see how it works out for him.
Your pick?
I gotta go Herta. It's Andretti on a street course.
You're killing me.
Oh, you gonna take him as well?
I should have went first. Don't change it.
All right.
Just keep it, because I think he's going to be the hot driver here. That's just my opinion.
Dark horse. God, I just
think you can say Newgarden.
No, I'm not going to say Newgarden. I do want to. Oh, man. Who's been like. God, this is taking forever. Let's go with Rosenquist. He was
Rosenquist. He's been good. Ooh, I like that. That's a good one. All right. So I'm going her. I'm going the hometown kid.
Mm-hmm.
And my dark horse is going to be David Malukas.
That's a good one.
That's going to be my dark horse.
Yeah.
I was going to go with Alex Rossi, but I don't know if can you consider him a dark horse?
No, you can. You can. He's
on. No, but I'm going to go with Malukas.
Yeah. No, I think Rossi's fair game at ECR.
Yeah.
So that's not a problem. I mean, really, it's what? Ganassi, Penske, and Andretti.
Yeah.
And I mean, even it's hard to say Andretti of late just because they don't quite put it together. I mean, yeah, McLaren up there too, but same deal as Andretti. It's like they're there, but they just don't quite get it all the time. Do you have anything else?
No.
Okay. So this is, I just want to go back to the comment or the joke about Suzuka being Monaco.
Yeah.
I have three suggestions. And two of them are kind of in the same boat where, if, because I, not only did a lot of the paddock make the same comment of like there wasn't much going on, it was kind of like Monaco, a couple F1 media guys that I've followed, they brought up a good point of if you just take the cars as they are now. And you look at the rest of the calendar on the season.
Mm-hmm.
What races stand out to you that are going to be good versus processional? So I think Bahrain has a good shot of being good, but it's hard to say that because there's been a lot of testing there, so it could be very processional in that sense.
Mm-hmm.
Saudi Arabia has the possibility of doing it, but again, it gets to be kind of processional if one driver is knowing where to deploy power and or deploy hybrid and play the DRS game strategically.
Yep.
Miami. It's kind of a toss-up, it seems. Imola is very processional just because of the width. Monaco, procession. Spain, at Barcelona over the past few years, it's been very processional.
Yep.
Montreal, not a whole lot of passing. And this is not to say that these tracks are bad. I'm just looking at this as what F1 races would be. Austria, like maybe one or two of them will have a battle, but like in the grand scheme of things, pretty processional. Silverstone, fine. Spa, fine. Hungary, processional. Zandvoort, processional. Monza has been getting processional just because it's a DRS train. when they all sit in that. Baku has teetered off. Singapore, if you go based off of last year and I think the year before that, has been processional.
Yep.
Coda, it's been a track where guys have been pushing one another and keeping each other honest, but but if you just kind of look at it from that standpoint, then it's been processional. Mexico, the altitude can make it processional just because if some teams are suffering from cooling issues. Interlagos has been a great race. Vegas has been good, I think. Qatar is a motorcycle track, so no. And then Abu Dhabi, you get two shots just because it's a back-to-back DRS straight, but after that, the other half of the track is kind of useless. So here's where I'm getting at. You have three options. One, go to different tracks, whatever it is, but it's hard to find good replacements. I think an argument after this past weekend could be, do you swap Suzuka out for Fuji? Just because there's a little bit more space, and it might be a couple more opportunities, and WEC has gone there for the sports car races and had good shows there. Second and third points are regulations related. First one being that you could change up this artificial passing implementation, so you get rid of DRS and put in something else, whether it's push to pass or an overtake system that's also kind of push to pass, but how they use it in Super Formula, which again, like, I watched the Super Formula races at Suzuka and they're going, I don't know, 6 seconds slower than F1, and it's a pretty damn good race still. So again, just a different way of looking at it. And then the third solution is you make the car small. And I'm not talking, you know, this like 2 inches smaller on the wheelbase and track width. I'm talking like really shrink it down to what you could reasonably get a car to with all the given safety improvements. I know a lot of today's car is, yes, electronics, but also I think it's gotten bigger just because of the safety requirements. So I totally get it, and that's fine. But I think you can definitely, it's definitely possible to make these cars smaller while still keeping their strength up in case of any kind of impact.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyways, that's my...
Your take?
My take on it, because this is not to say that I don't enjoy any of these tracks that they go to. I think just about 90% of this calendar is great. Like, I would love to go race it myself anytime I pull up a sim or a racing game, whatever, and I get any of these tracks listed, I'm probably going to go to one of them just because I think the track is cool.
That's cool.
So this is, and again, I'm not advocating for Monaco to be off the calendar. I still think that is a great race for what it is, but if you're going to race, if you want to keep that race on the calendar, you need to shrink the cars. At Monaco, that's the only way you do it. So I will still contest that the cars need to go smaller. I get why some of the manufacturers might be hesitant to not go forth with that V10 model, but like if you can get the hybrid system out of the car, that takes weight out of it too. you could probably even restrict the amount of sensors on the car as well, and like really get it back to, can someone engineer with minimal data? Yes, it's a bit more guesswork, but that's kind of the point. You don't want to have the computer drive the car all the time and make the decisions for you. And again, if you simplify the power unit, your reliability can only go up in that sense, or you'll have more resources being poured into an engine like that. Audi is probably one of the biggest no that would be on the board for doing something like that, because I just don't think it aligns with what they're trying to do as a manufacturer anyways.
Yeah.
So I get their hesitancy, and I wouldn't be surprised if they were to opt out of F1, but it's just a bad strategic move it's just been bad luck at that point for them. If everyone else is on board and they're not, just because they just don't believe in it, which fine, or you somehow create a rule set similar to IMSA and WEC, where you have different engines being allowed into the sport, but you figure out a way to maximize the power output, or I'm sorry, limit the power output to the wheels.
Gotcha. Yep.
So it can be done, and I'm sure there's a solution, but obviously there's a lot of money at play, and if they're getting these cities to pay the sport of F1 this huge lump of money to go do more street races, because that's what brings in the most fans apparently, but probably just brings in the most money. Yeah, I mean, I've definitely gone away from, you know, if I can catch the race live, I'll catch it live, but if I miss it, I think that's the great thing today, is where I can just, you know, go flip on F1 TV and rewatch the race, and if it's getting kind of boring, or if there's a red flag for whatever reason, I can just fast forward through it.
Yep.
So.
All right. That's some good takes there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anything else?
No. That's where I'm at.
I think we're good. We got our picks in.
Yeah.
The TV's fired up for the weekend, and let's see what happens.
Yeah, no, definitely should be a good weekend. I'm not trying to be a downer on the F1 season, but I'm always looking forward to the weekend, because, you know, it's outside of some races being a bit processional or whatnot, like it is action, and like that's what racing is a lot of the times, where you're not necessarily fighting door to door the entire length of the race. There's strategy and other stuff that goes on, and mental games. Like I said, Coda hasn't been, it's seemed processional, but I really do enjoy the races where drivers are pushing one another and keeping each other honest. Like even this past week at Suzuka, Max could not make a mistake. His team made a mistake in the pits and almost cost him the win.
Yeah.
So.
No, a fair point.
Yeah.
All right. And on that note,
good night.
Thank you guys for listening to the Redness Podcast, hosted by Christian Abbott, Sean Abbott, and Nathan Lavin. It's produced by Christian Abbott, and music is by Alex Wart and Harrison Tate.